Chapter 5, Exodus chapter 5 in your Bible. I'm going to try to cover a whole chapter in one night. There's some excitement here. Thank you. Exodus chapter 5. So last week was our first week of school at the Christian school here, and Connections Week, our opening week of school. I mentioned earlier the evangelist, he preached 18 times in 3 days in our school. He was tired. I think one of those days he went home. Did he go home early? Between preaching sessions, he went for a jog in the heat. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. This is one of the reasons why I'm not an evangelist. I think they're different, but that's just me. But because of the COVID, we had to do everything individually by classes because there's all kinds of health and safety requirements. So I did 18 game times in 3 days. Yeah, not as hard as preaching the 18 times that he did, but It was hot out there, I'll tell you. I had to wear a hat, try to cover up my solar panel. So anyway, it was a long week, but I feel like the Lord really blessed, and a lot of the kids were excited. I mean, you get a good sense. I have a good sense about this year, good feeling. And I know it's just a feeling. There's nothing objective about my feelings here, but for me, it felt good. Okay. So some of the new students, I'm getting to know each other, and friendships that are already forming in our school, and I feel like it was a good first week. So just keep us in your prayers. We have our share of challenges this year, as you can imagine, but you know the Lord is working, and you see that, and a number of young people raising hands to make decisions. So I'll try to do some follow-up this week with some of the kids and talk to them, but it's a blessing to see the Lord at work, so we ask that you keep us in your prayers. So we're in Exodus. This is not new, you guys, your Bibles should just follow up into Exodus when I walk up here by now. But we talked about Israel was in Egypt 430 years. It talks about 400 years of oppression. And they were working for Pharaoh, serving Pharaoh, and he would protect them. And we talked about the generation that knew Joseph and how they had a deal worked out and things were fine. But then later on, Pharaohs became suspicious. We get to the Pharaoh that we're at now, some 400 years later. And 400 years from when the oppression started, and this Pharaoh is very angry and is convinced that they're going to hurt him in a key moment. So he thinks the only way to control the population is to put them in bondage. And so he treats them very unfairly, and as they serve him, he becomes more and more harsh. Now, God had promised Abraham a new land, and so there's promises up ahead. Things should get better for them. You know, this isn't where they're supposed to be. The ones that really follow God the way they're supposed to know this. And so along comes Moses. And Moses, God will uniquely use Moses. And Moses meets God at a burning bush, and God gives him a unique vision. And so there's excitement. He heads back to the elders. He shows them the signs that God has given them. He tells them that God will deliver them. Good news, there's hope on the horizon. And everyone's excited. And if we could... Everything looks good at this point, right? Everyone's very excited. Unfortunately, though, he's about to become very disillusioned by the end of this chapter. And, you know, it's easy to start out with high hopes and have your expectations crushed in the spiritual life, right? And so we're going to talk about the road to disillusionment in the Christian life. So Israel and Moses, by the end of this chapter, are going to feel pretty low. We're going to talk about the journey that they were on and how sometimes we can feel the same way. We can start out with high hopes and be discouraged by our Christian life, and what can we learn from them, and what does God have for us? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig into the text here. Okay? Without further ado, let's do this. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. And Lord, we're not any different than Moses, Lord. We need your help each day, and we face our own difficulties and struggles. And just as Moses was discouraged, we can be discouraged, Lord. Help us to... have eyes of faith to trust you in the things that we can't see. And Lord, you work on behalf of your people. Help us never to forget that. And you are the all-powerful God. And may we see that this evening. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm starting out with point number one here. Believers begin to serve God with high hope. So we're going to talk about two signs to see if you're on the road to disillusionment. And the first sign is that believers can begin to serve God with high hopes. Believers can begin to serve God with high hopes. This is in the first three verses. I'm going to read it for you. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. And this is the first time this phrase is used in the Bible. It will be used many times after this, but this is the first time. He says, thus saith the Lord. This is our first, thus saith the Lord. And he clarifies for Pharaoh, in case you don't know which Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with a sword. So Moses begins his ministry in a very straightforward manner. He goes directly to Pharaoh, and he just tells him exactly what the Lord says. And he says, the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken, and he says that we should go, that we can worship him. And so this is very plain communication. He's faithful to the message. There hasn't been any miracles at this point, but he's saying directly what it is. And he warns about the coming potential judgment, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or the sword. And Pharaoh's response to the first call is, Pharaoh says, who is your God? And the idea of who your God is, in the language here, it's the idea is, who's that? That's really a nobody. It doesn't really matter. Back then, a lot of gods were regional, and so that God was not seen as supreme in this area. And Moses thought of himself as a deity, and Pharaoh thought of himself as a deity, and people worshipped Pharaoh. And they had other deities in that area. But he says, this God that you're serving, he says, he's nothing. He's no one. And so Moses repeats again, let Israel go, and let them go to where they can serve God and worship him in a place that's appropriate. And so Moses has this vision from God. He begins with optimism. He charges into Pharaoh, and he shares what God has said. So things are bright at this point, right? It almost reminds me of the disciples, and they're always questioning Christ about the coming kingdom. You have this coming kingdom. He's very excited about it, and they ask Jesus questions. Okay, who gets to sit closest to you in the kingdom? Who's going to have the most power? When is the kingdom going to come? When are the Romans going to go away? They have all these things that they want, and they're hopeful and optimistic, and they can't wait for God to fulfill his word. And they think at any second this is going to happen. And they're so excited. Now, they fail to see all that God is going to do, okay? And they will be disillusioned shortly. But for that, when they first start, things look so hopeful. You know, sometimes you meet a new believer, someone who has just accepted Christ as their Savior. You know, they realize for the first time maybe that they're sinners and that their sin offends God. And they realize that only Christ can save them, his death on the cross, not their own works. And so they put their full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and begin a new life in Christ, and they're so excited. And it's like they're so happy, and it's like they're floating on the clouds. And then all the problems start to come in, and they get all discouraged and beat up. And even as believers sometimes, you know, the Lord gives us a real vision to serve someone or a passion to witness to someone or to study God's word. And you know, we start out, everything is going so great initially, and we get that excitement. Okay, things are really picking up, and I'm talking to the person, there's momentum, and then what happens? Sometimes we have that setback, okay? But before the setback, we can start and be so optimistic and hopeful. And if this is how you feel, you're in good company. This is how Moses and Aaron felt, and all of Israel. And this is not unusual for us to start out with expectations and hopes and dreams and visions of what God wants us to do. This is normal to start this way. It's okay. We expect God's blessing. No one starts a ministry thing and this is going to fail. Or no one starts out a prayer lesson and says, you know what, about a month from now, I'm going to give up on this because I'm not going to be consistent and faithful. You know, no one thinks this way, right? We all see what God can do. We all can be excited before the obstacles hit. All right, that's point number one. The whole message only has 2 points, so here comes point number... I know this is fast, right? So point number one on the road to disillusionment is that we can have high hopes for what God can do. Point number two is a fundamental misunderstanding of how God blesses. A fundamental misunderstanding of how God blesses. I'm going to read for you the rest of the chapter, verses 4 through 22 here. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work? Get you unto your burden. And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, You shall no more give the people straw to make bricks, as whereto let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Meaning, come on, you guys are being lazy. This is the God thing is an excuse. You should be working. And the taskmaster of the people went out. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regain vain words. And the taskmaster of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmaster hastened them, saying, Fulfill your work and your daily tasks, so when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making bricks both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh. So there's levels of management between, there's upper people in Israel's workforce that could have appealed up to Pharaoh. So there's Israelites who are overseers. This is what this is talking about. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, You shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servant, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evilly entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? All right, we're going to unpack this. There's a lot of stuff going on here. So Pharaoh, the second time Moses appeals to him to let Israel go, becomes very upset, and he feels like he might be losing control, and so he doubles down on being oppressive. If he's really oppressing them more, it'll keep them from leaving. So he has to maintain his power here. He wants total control. And so how do we have more control? Well, I'm going to make things more difficult. Now, his standard is impossible. There's no way they can possibly do all the stuff that he's saying. And he knows that, right? But he says, you're lazy. You want to run off and worship instead of doing your work. That's the real problem. So he's passing off these excuses. And so the situation becomes, it goes from difficult to impossible for them. So here they are. They started out with such high hopes, and things are crumbling quickly. And this is not looking good for them, right? They feel like things are just spiraling out of control. And if you read the verses, it really sounds like someone who's going crazy. So I want to share for you Israel's meltdown over straws and bricks, I call it. All right, I'm going to read for you. Verse number 7. Ye shall no more give the people straw nor bricks. Verse number 8, the tale of the bricks which did make heretofore. Verse number 10, and the taskmaster of the people went out, and the officers, and spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Verse 11, go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Verse number 12, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. Oh, this is looking bad. The stubble here is a lot of times if you chop down corn, there's the remaining stalk, and that's what this stubble is. And so they can't get straw fast enough, and so they're grabbing whatever they can grab. But this is difficult, and they're doing this by hand. This is hard to wrestle. And so this is just futility. We've got to get something. And so they're grabbing this stubble. And, of course, this makes the whole brick-making process even more difficult. So they're panicked if you don't get the vibe here. Verse 13, the taskmaster hastened to them, saying, "Fulfill your work and daily task." As when there was straw, the officers of the children of Israel and Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today?" Verse 16, "There is no straw given unto thy servant." They say unto us, "Make brick." "Behold, thy servants are being beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." Verse 18, "Go therefore now and work, for there shall be no straw be given unto you, yet you shall be delivered the tale of bricks." Verse 19, "And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, 'You shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task.'" So what do we see here? They're constantly talking about bricks and straw. Can you hear the craziness that's going on here? It sounds like they're going nuts. Ah, the bricks, the straw, what's happening? We don't have this here. And they're feeling the heat right now. They're under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. They're at their wit's end. Now, this morning I briefly misplaced my cell phone. But I was like, "My cell phone." So I drove back home. And Jerry said, "Hello." And I said, "My cell phone." Right? This was a moment of panic. All I could think about was this little metal device, right? My cell phone. I have to have this. And this is Israel in this moment. All I could think about is bricks and straw. And they're having a difficult time. So they're trying to serve God. They're trying to follow God. There's a vision. There's a plan. They want to be a part of it. And yet, as they follow God, life is not cooperating. Things aren't going the way they planned. They're short on physical daily needs. And the things that they think they have to have, it's just not there. What will they do? What will they do? They're becoming very disillusioned. And, you know, all mention of the Lord is lost. This is an existential crisis, right? They're losing all hope and faith. They're having a meltdown. And it talks about Moses stands in the way, or he's in the road. And the foremen go and talk to Pharaoh and ask him about the bricks and the straw. And they come back, and Moses and Aaron say, "Hey, how did it go?" And I'll give you the Potter paraphrase. "Thanks for nothing, Moses. You made everything worse. Why do we listen to you?" And Moses is like, "I don't know what happened. I was doing what I was told." And Moses feels terrible. And they said, "Oh, you know, God should judge you, Moses. How would you like to be that leader, right, and have everyone complain?" And Moses is like, "What do I do?" He goes to prayer. And, you know, he never really wanted the gig to start with, right? And he tells the Lord, "Why did you send me? What's the deal? We don't have the bricks and the straw, right? Things aren't going well at all." And he cries out to the Lord. At least he knows to go to the Lord, right? At least he's not lacking faith in that way. But things are unraveling quickly. Things aren't working out the way they had hoped. They had high hopes, high dreams, visions for what God was going to do. And yet, things fall apart, and they're desperate for bricks and straw. How sad it is. You know, sometimes we can be just like these people. Sometimes we can have high hopes of what God can do. And like the disciples, we can be all excited. You know, the Lord's going to work, and I'm going to witness to my coworker, and I'm going to read my Bible more faithfully, and I'm going to encourage a discouraged believer. And then what happens? Sometimes trials come in our life, difficulties, hardship. And we have our own crisis. Maybe it's a crisis of friendship. There's a friend that you thought you had, and something didn't work out, or maybe you have to make a payment of some kind, you know, and that's your bricks and your straw. But these physical pressures crop up in our life, and it's easy for us to be disillusioned and to really lose our sense of purpose and for us to lose the hope that we have. You know, I think sometimes we have a wrong view of how God blesses us. We think that if I'm following God and doing what he says, and I'm doing my part, his part is to make my life easier, right? So we did what Moses said, so when will things get easier? Why do we have all these crises of bricks and straw? This doesn't make sense to me. And I think a lot of Christians, without thinking about it, they have this deal with God in their mind, right? I'll do my part, I'll give something, I'll come, I'll serve, I'll help somebody else. But in exchange, I want you to make my life easier. And when it doesn't get easier, what happens? You have disbelief, you have complaining, you have negative attitudes. This is what Israel has. And this is really a wrong view of who God is. You know, I would say most Christians in America see God as a vending machine, right? I do what God tells me to do, and in exchange, he gives me something that makes my life better, easier, more blessed, financially prosperous, better health, better family, maybe more hair for someone like me. We think, you know, maybe if, yeah, okay, you can think about that one. We think if I do my part, the Lord's going to give me something that I really want, and this is how we see. And you know what? If you watch the big-name preachers and these TV evangelists, that's pretty much what they say, right? It's the health and wealth gospel. You know, if you do these things for God, and he'll help you in these ways that you want. If you follow these six principles, your family will be just the portrait of a happy family. And everybody will be happy and smiling. Okay, I can serve that kind of a God. I can do that kind of a thing. This is what Israel thought, you know? If we follow Moses, it'll make life easier. And what happens? They follow Moses, and it gets harder. They have this difficulty, this problem that they have. And you know what? Their understanding of God is completely wrong. And they don't really see God for who he actually is. They misunderstand how God blesses them. This is the problem that Job's friends had, remember? God took everything away from Job, and he had his friends there. And initially, in the first few chapters, they're doing pretty good. They say nothing, and it's working great. He's encouraged. And then they got to open their mouths, and this is when their counseling class falls apart here. And they tell God, really? You must have sinned, because bad things are happening, right? And what's their fundamental understanding of God? Their fundamental understanding of God is, if you do what he wants, he'll make your life easier. And since Job's life is harder, they think, oh, you must have blown it somewhere. There's no way that God can work in your life this way. God has to give you what you want if he's working in your life. And so they misread the situation. Now, Job gets it, right? What does Job say? He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You know, he realized that he would follow God by faith. By faith. He is living by faith because he doesn't see anything good coming. By faith, he's following God. By faith, he's trusting. And even when it's difficult, it's not about him, it's about God. He will serve God in difficult times, in trying times, okay? Because his faith is real. His faith isn't just the vending machine, God, give me what I want. His faith is, I put God first, even when it's difficult. Even when I don't get what I want, God will be in the right place. What a good example he is. You know, that's a lot of the gods of the Old Testament, especially Baal. If you serve Baal, he gives you what you want. This is why Baal's so attractive. It's a god that people can manipulate and control. Now, the God of the Bible, if I serve him, will he get me what I want? Well, what if he doesn't, right? That's harder for people to accept. That's harder for people to accept. That really does take faith. And that truly is worship. Worship, giving something to God and not being guaranteed anything back. That is real worship, right? Sacrificing. But, you know, the Lord does bless, but he doesn't always bless in the way we want or in our timetable. And so this is why we truly have to have faith. I'm going to end the message right here, okay? And I'm leaving them in a very dark place. And we'll pick up here and things will get better for them. I'll just let you know. But the question is, what will happen next? Will God answer Moses' prayer? Will Moses do any miracles? Will Pharaoh repent, or will he be judged? And will Israel make it out of Egypt? Will Israel ever stop complaining? That's another question. Will they ever make it to the promised land? I'm going to say, come back, and you'll find out, or you could read ahead. But come back, and you'll find out what God is doing here. Let's bow our heads for 1 second, close our eyes. I just want to ask you the question.